Notice what it says, working together with him. That's God. We also appeal to you. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time I listened to you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. See now? No. You don't see it. See now is the acceptable time. See now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation.
Amen.
You see that?
Yes, sir.
Now is the time of salvation. Now is the time. You're going to hear that a lot in the next few minutes. Now is the time. We wander. We do. We get away from God. We get off of the paths that God has marked out for us. We take detours and we plan things that we think are more important. We fail to listen to what God has to say and we wander. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to wander from thy love, from the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy courts above. Wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. You know that's a hymn, right? You know that I didn't make that up. We're prone to wander. Now's the time. Listen, we get away from God. We take our focus off of what God wants for our lives. And pastors, I'll just speak to you for just a minute. We hurt ourselves when we do that because we make our plans the priority. We make our thoughts the priority. We need to stay focused on God. God is first. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. And we need to focus on Him. We're prone to wander. Now's the time. Now's the time to do a couple of things, and we're going to look at them real quickly. I'm not going to tarry. We've got a better preacher coming. But look at this. Here's the first thing that I want to tell you. We need to realize that now is the time for sinners to be saved. Now is the time for sinners to be saved. Now, some of you are already getting comfortable. You think I'm not going to get to you, but I will. Now's the time. Sinners need to be saved. And I'm going to tell you, drunkards are not drunkards. They're lost. The immoral man is not just some immoral man that has a psychological problem. He's lost. The man who beats his wife is not a man who just doesn't respect women. He's lost. We need to realize that what we call problems of society are nothing more than sin, and people are lost. They may very well be well-meaning church members. And I do make it very clear, they're church members. They've never had an experience of salvation in their life. They've spoken all the right words. They've said all the right things. And they put their name on the roll book of the church, but they've not put their name on the roll book of life. And they are hopeless, and they are without hope. And they are homeless, and they're without a home. And they're fearful because they're without faith. They're lost. And now's the time. Now is the time for sinners to be saved. Now is the time because far too long, people have been wandering in sin. They've been mired up in the mark and the muck and the mire of this life. They've accustomed themselves to the culture that we so boldly speak against from the Word of God, and they've made themselves accustomed to that, and they are lost. And now is the time for salvation. There is none that is righteous. No, not one. There's none that are good. No, not one. You can call me good all you want to, but I'll tell you, I'm not good. And if you think you're good, you need to think again, because there's none that are righteous. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Scripture says. So what does a person do? It's time. It's time for a sinner to be saved. What does a person do? First of all, they admit the fact that there is no other way to salvation except through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. They admit to the fact that they're sinners and that they're lost and they need a Savior. There is no way that they can save themselves. That's the second thing they believe. They believe that Jesus Christ is the only way. That they can't save themselves through all of their ways and their things. They can't toss a couple of hundred in the plate every Sunday. Now, if you want to come and do that here, that's fine. They can't toss a couple of hundred in the plate every Sunday and think that's going to save them. They can't buy the preacher a car. and think that'll save them. It won't. All of your works are nothing but filthy rags. It's faith. It's grace. It's in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. You admit that. You believe that. You confess that. You confess the fact that Jesus Christ has saved you. Because I'm going to tell you something. Before Christ, you're lost. You're just like Adam. You're separated from God. Adam sinned in that garden. He listened to that sinister snake. And he listened to that woman. And that woman sinned as well. But Adam was the spiritual leader. He was the man in that garden. And he should have stopped it all. But instead, he was deluded by his own thinking and his own desires. And he was separated from God. That separation is very clear to us in the fact that after he had sinned, he and Eve had sinned, that God put them outside the garden, that separation. And we need to confess the fact that Jesus Christ is the only way back to God. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised you from the dead and you will be saved. Amen. Confession comes with the mouth. Heart results in a belief. And the Scripture goes on to say that no one, listen to me, no one, do you hear me? No one. Are you listening tonight? No one will not be saved. All will be saved. None will be turned away. So you may be in your sin, but I want to say Jesus Christ is your Savior. Now's the time to be saved. Today is the day of salvation. Give your heart to Him today. Secondly, there's a time, and now is the time, for saints to be sanctified. It's time for believers to return to their first love. You remember in my introduction, brief as it was, I shared with you very blatantly, and I'll share it with you again. You and I have this way of wandering. Christian, brother, sister, member of my family, the family of God, the body of Christ. It's time. It's time to be sanctified. Listen, we look at the letters to the church at the churches from the book of Revelation, and we see those letters as they stack up, but the letter to Ephesus is very clear to me. Because you see, the letter to Ephesus is where Jesus is speaking to them and He commends that church. He applauds them. He lifts them up. He encourages them. And if anything, the church needs encouragement today, doesn't it? And He says to them, well done, you've done well. But as fast as He speaks to them the word of commendation, He speaks to them the complaint. So they are full of zeal. They are full of compassion. They're full of passion. They're full of the work of God. But then all of a sudden He says, but I have this one thing against you. What is that one thing? You have left your first love. They had it all together. Man, they were doing good. They were making waves. They were the thing that was going on in that town. If anybody wanted to go anywhere, they went to Ephesus because Ephesus was where it was at. You know, things were going good. Those people were enjoying being, I mean, they were even being where they were holding people accountable. They were calling out sinners. They were even calling them by name. But they did not love. We are in a situation today where we need to realize love is what it's all about. Yes. And doesn't this sound familiar? You mean I've got to love? I've got to show love? But I love God. What's wrong? Preacher, don't tell me that I've got to love people too. Red or yellow, black or white. They are precious in His sight. But it seems like we choose one or the other to love. The bottom line is that we're to love. Doesn't care about their skin, it cares about their soul. We love them for their soul. And you know, when I think about that love relationship, I think about the fact that we have this horizontal and this vertical relationship. But so often we forget one over the other. We love God, but we don't love others. That's the church at Ephesus. And that's us today. I'm afraid that's a condemnation to us. Because you see, the mark of the believer is that they love one another. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35 says, "By this shall all men know that you love my disciples, that you have loved one for another, even as I have loved you." That appears to be the problem that we see in the church at Ephesus. And now we find that it may be even a problem among us. The time is now that we become sanctified. That we love, and that love is an outgrowth of our life. Listen, my friends, you are not a reservoir. You are an outlet. Do you want me to explain that to you? I'm glad. The grace of God is poured into you. The grace of God is poured into you not to be stored, but to be poured out on others. The love of God has been poured into you. Let the love of God be poured out of you. Don't store it up. There's no use in storing it up because it's going to get stale. I used to hike a lot. You can't tell that now. But I used to hike a lot. I used to love to go hiking. And the worst thing that you could imagine happens sometimes in the hot summer days. As you're walking along that trail and you're enjoying the beauty of the afternoon and you're loving the sun shining down on your shoulders and on your face and you're enjoying being in the presence of God, and then all of a sudden that stench hits you. You with me yet? You country boys are. And as you walk along, that smell gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And it makes you sicker and sicker and sicker. And then you find it. You stumble up on it. It's a puddle of water. Probably about the size of this pulpit. Probably about that deep. It hasn't gone in a while. And nothing's gone out of it in a while. You stink. Pouring grace into you needs to be poured out of you. The love poured into you needs to be poured out of you. The power of God in your life needs to be poured out as power on someone else. That's what it means to be a disciple of Christ. That's what it means to make disciples. So get busy. Now's the time. Now's the time. Now's the time. Now's the time for the saved to be serving. God did not invest in you, His Son Jesus Christ, for you to sit on a pew on Sunday morning. God did not invest in your life for you to be inactive in the work of the church. But Brother Jeff, I give an offering every week. I pray for the pastor. I do. I come to Sunday school. I'm one of those few that come. And I'm here all the time. But Lord, but you know, I just don't have the talents. God has put in you some talent for you to serve. And you and I need to be serving. It's time now that the church be about the business of serving. And we need to be serving in sweetness. Because we need to serve in such a way that others see Jesus just all over us. Tomorrow, Virgil will be serving in a homeless ministry, and they're going to be giving out food and stuff. And if he goes in there in the morning and he's grouchy and he's complaining about having to drive that bus on a cold Saturday morning in Tuscaloosa, if he does that, ain't no sweetness to that. There ain't no service there either, Virgil. We need to be serving in sweetness, and we also need to be serving in silence. You with me yet? You already there, aren't you? We talk too much. Did you know what I did the other day? I went down to that kitchen the other day and I fed 500 people. Do you know I fed 500 people? Praise Jesus, hallelujah. I fed those people, and man, I got to share Jesus with them. Who cares? All you've done is taken away your blessing. Let somebody else praise you. Virgil's going to work with a homeless ministry tomorrow. Amen? He didn't tell you that, I did. And if he gets up here and he starts talking about it, I may baptize him again. Coach Garden over there coaches football and baseball. He don't talk a lot about that. But you know what he's doing? He's ministering to those kids. He's serving them. He wouldn't tell you that, but he does. And I can keep on going. Vince Lee is the pastor of the Vertical Point Church in Ellic City, and they have a recovery program, a recovery ministry. He spends many a nights on the phone for hours at a time talking to people that are addicted to drugs. He won't tell you that. You know why? Because he does it in silence. That's what it's all about. Stay silent. Just let the good works praise you. Don't you be praising your good works. We need to be about the business of serving. Because you see, the Holy Spirit has empowered us. And the Holy Spirit has fallen upon us. And that we need to be about the business of sharing what we have. The Holy Spirit came in on those children there in that upper room, those disciples. It came in with power. I mean, there was a whooshing sound when it came in. They knew that the presence of God had fallen on them. And the Bible says they had all things in common. They shared everything that they had with everybody else. They were in one accord. They were in love with each other and with God. And they were sharing what they had with others. We need to be about the business of serving. I'm going to move right on. Here's the last point. Here it is. It is time for the sincere to be shouting. Now, don't turn me off yet. Especially to those of you that are good, staunch Southern Baptists. We get just a little nervous when someone has a demonstration of the power of God upon their life. They get to shouting, and we get to shaking. Well, I sure hope those stained glasses don't break. They get to, here's the one I really wish that Southern Baptists would get along. Amen. Just say amen every once in a while. Even if you have to grunt it, just say it, okay? Amen. And I hope nobody saw that. Amen. I hope nobody heard that. You see what I'm saying? It's time to shout. I said it's time. It's time to shout. It's time to get excited about what God is doing. And a little joy and a little excitement and a little happiness in the church today is what we need. Because folks are being saved. Lives are being changed. Hope is being restored. God's people are being sanctified. God is moving among His people like He's never moved among His people before. Yes, we are living in the last times, but I'm seeing God do some great work. We need a revival in the church, so the saints of God need to be shouting. We need people saved. We need to be shouting. We need to be sharing and feeding those that are hungry and hurting. We need to be shouting. We need to be busy about the work of God. We need to be saying amen every once in a while. There's four here. Four examples. I'm just going to name them. Nehemiah, David, the woman at the well. All of those were shouting. But what about the seed sower? My friend Preston came in tonight from Troy. He's originally from Cullman, and he came in from Troy tonight. He's on his way to Chaco to get a job for the summer. And he said something about seeds just a little while ago. You remember that? Have you ever thought about it? The seed sower goes along sowing seed. The Bible says he's sowing precious seed. And then the Bible says that he's not only sowing seed, but he's weeping. He's going along weeping. There is he shares that seed and he puts it in the ground. The tears fall from his eyes and fall along his cheeks and fall down his chin and water that seed. And so he's sowing seed and he's weeping over his seed. But if you notice what that scripture says, as he sows and as he weeps, so he will come rejoicing over the sheaves that he had. He'll be rejoicing. How many times have I shared the gospel message with someone and I've been so excited over that experience? How many times, Craig, you knew I'd be down here in a little while, didn't you? How many times, Craig, have we shared the gospel message with a teenager under a tree and seen them come to know Jesus Christ and it do something in our heart and in our life, just cause us to just break out in just some kind of joy within our lives, hope. Sow seeds, weep, but get ready to shout. Because the day's coming when you and I will go through those gates. And the day will come when we go to be with Him. We stand before Him. And He will look at us. And what we desire Him to say is, glad you made it there, Virgil. Robert, you made it by the skin of your teeth. There's somebody else's teeth, but you made it by the skin of their teeth. No, what we want to hear is we want to hear, well done, well done, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You're talking about shouting. That's going to be shouting time. Now is the time. Now is the time for lost people to be saved. Now is the time for the saved to be sanctified. Now is the time for the sincere to be serving. And now is the time for the saints to be shouting. So get busy, folks. It's time for us to make 2020 the year that we focus in, that we see fully what God is doing. Get those blinders off. Look at Him and let Him work through you like He's never worked through you before. It'll make a difference, Coosa County. It'll make a difference in your church. It'll make a difference in your home. It'll make a difference in your school. It'll make a difference in every place that you touch. Because where your feet go, God says, I've given you that territory. So go.
Well, you brought it tonight.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.